Fancy Pearly Whites. Nat King Cole and Smile for Kevin, and Kiss from a Rose from Seal for Victoria. Now, from goat's yoga to sound baths, the world is full of wellness trends designed to soothe and calm both body and spirit. But now self-care practice in the Netherlands is promising practitioners serenity and perhaps a smile or two as well. It's called Koknuffelen in Dutch. I'm sure I've pronounced that terribly. Do you know what it means?
I don't know, go on.
Cow hugging.
Okay.
The practice is centered on the inherent healing properties of a good human-to-animal snuggle. Cow cuddlers typically start by taking a tour of the farm before resting against one of the cows for 2 to 3 hours. At the cow's warmer body temperature, slower heartbeat, and mammoth size can make hugging them an incredibly soothing experience, and gives the animal a back rub, reclining against them, or even getting licked is all part of the therapeutic encounter. Fancy being licked by a cow?
No.
Things you can do with your mouth. Cow cuddling is believed to promote positivity and reduce stress by boosting oxytocin in humans, the hormone released in social bonding. The calming effects of curling up with a pet or emotional support animal, it seems, are accentuated when cuddling with larger mammals.
Are those cows with black marks or grey marks? Because they're apparently, scientists are genetically modifying dairy cows in a bid to save them from climate change. Because if they have grey marks, it would decrease the amount of heat that the animal absorbs.
The cows are in the remedial class have black marks, don't they? Care if you don't get trampled on. And watch out for the dung. Good morning to Damien, who says, I'm sitting in a traffic jam with Isaac O'Connor on our way to the International School of Monaco. He's still laughing about the Woof Fiera radio joke. Woof Fiera radio, yeah. A woofer of the week. And reminded me that you said he would be able to visit you someday. Of course, that was before coronavirus. He's your biggest eight-year-old fan. Yes, we'd love to see you one day, Isaac, once this coronavirus kerfuffle has sorted itself out. Be gentle with me.
I will be. Question number one. On this day in 1969, for the first time in the history of the show, the BBC's Top of the Pops producers refused to air the number one song.
Je t'aime moi non plus.
Well done. Question number two. It would have been this British singer-songwriter's musician's 80th birthday
John
today.
John Lennon.
Born on this day in 1940. And finally, along the theme of your Feel Good Friday theme, Secret Smile was a song by which American rock band? 1999 single. International
Secret
success.
Smile. Oh. Don't know.
Semisonic. Yeah. Didn't know whether you had a request for that one, but obviously not.
No, we got this though. XTC for Michael.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Bonjour.
Good morning.
You okay?
Yeah, well, I'm not as good as you. What are you, 2 hours from liftoff? 2 hours away from the weekend, you'll be buzzing at this point. Montrachet in the fridge, cigars in the humidor, ready to go, aren't you?
Montrachet, actually, not Montrachet.
Okay.
Yeah.
As you wish.
You must have made a fortune over the last few months, haven't you? Come on, you know, not having to go into work, no petrol fees to pay, no parking, no popping out to the Gaucho Grill at lunchtime. You must be rolling in it.
Bought a few shares at the bottom of the market, you know. Never miss a crisis, as they say. Listen, it's been a period of turmoil for many people, and there's no doubt we've been lucky in terms of having a house and all those types of things. But, you know, it's a sort of a balancing act. To be honest with you, I would take commuting over homeschooling any day of the week. So it's all been a learning curve.
Right, OK, well, fair enough. Markets seem to be quite happy at the moment.
Yeah, US stocks rose to a 5-week high yesterday. Treasury yields edged lower. The dollar weakens as investors bet additional US stimulus will be forthcoming. Central banks will remain supportive, and progress on a vaccine will finally mitigate the impact of the pandemic. European equities also in decent shape yesterday, jumping 0.8 of 1%, highest level in 3 weeks. At the close, the S&P 500 was up 0.8 of 1%. NASDAQ was up 0.5%. Oil futures rose 3% during the course of the trading session yesterday after Gulf of Mexico producers shut 1.5 million barrels per day of crude production ahead of a storm that's expected to crash into the Louisiana coast later today. Opening calls on the European bourses got the FTSE up 24 points, DAX over in Frankfurt up 40 points, CAC 40 in Paris up 23 points. Not all bright news this morning, it has to be said. Just had the latest UK GDP growth numbers in. pretty disappointing, it had to be said. UK economy grew 2.1% month on month in August. That's well below estimates. Markets were looking for a figure closer to 4.6%. Service sector underperforming, and it looks like it's going to be a tough finish to the year for the UK economy. As coronavirus rates rise, Brexit uncertainty continues. And of course, you've got some major concerns around surging unemployment in the UK.
Yeah, it looks increasingly like markets are factoring in a democratic win, doesn't it?
The blue sweep, as many people have been calling it. So not only, of course, Joe Biden taking the White House, but the Democrats controlling Congress. And that could have a significant impact in terms of expectations around the size and shape of a future stimulus package, a more supportive federal government coming through. But I think a bigger role in terms of the state as well, much more regulation potentially being put in the case, put in place. You'll see the administration at the center of regulatory changes as well. We heard earlier in the week, of course, around recommendations for the technology sector. So potentially some positives out there, lower geopolitical risk, one could argue, under a Biden administration. But there's also the potential for higher taxes as well being pushed through. We know that Joe Biden has supported things like returning the top rate of tax back to the pre-Trump level, increasing the corporation tax back to 28%, and in favour, apparently, has supported a higher minimum wage in the United States, all of which in the short term could provide headwinds to companies.
It's going to get increasingly nasty between now and the 3rd of November, though, isn't it? I mean, Nancy Pelosi trying to have Trump removed from office for mental incapacity.
It's going to be a real roller coaster ride, there's no doubt about that. And that's likely to play out, I guess, in greater volatility in financial markets. And as I think analysts start to look at the potential for a victory coming through, we may start to see dispersion at a stock level.
Okay, on to EasyJet. Poor set of numbers, obviously, yesterday, but the shares are up. Why?
Yeah, shares are up despite, as you say, reporting an annual loss of £845 million for the year through September. That's its first ever full-year loss, scrapping its dividend. The airline, not surprisingly, painting somewhat of a bleak picture of the European aviation industry as they head towards winter, focusing more on liquidity and the prospects for next year. EasyJet, should mind ourselves, came into 2020 one of the strongest balance sheets in the industry. Still said they've got lots of cash, £2.3 billion in cash to survive the pandemic-driven slump. Still, it said it would evaluate ways to raise cash and called for further state aid. The carrier has already accepted £600 million of state-guaranteed loans in talks about further financing. The airline will slim back its capacity over the slow winter season, offering only 25% of its normal capacity. Shares were up yesterday, but only up 2.25%. Remember, that's against the backdrop of a loss of almost two-thirds of their value during the course of this year.
I feel sorry for all those people at Barclays.
Why is that?
Well, you know, I mean, for years and years and years, they've been buying you coffees. Oh, sorry, I forgot my wallet. And they're not going to get back now because everyone's working from home.
Yeah, I was never like that, it has to be said. I've always been particularly generous with colleagues, and they would all account to that, I'm sure.
Right, OK. And major restructuring taking place at IBM.
Yes, shares in IBM up 7%. Yes, as the 109-year-old company announced it's splitting itself into two public companies as it tries to diversify away from its legacy business to focus on higher margin cloud computing. IBM will list its IT infrastructure service unit, which provides technical support for 4,600 clients in 115 countries. The new company will have 90,000 employees. That's out of IBM's current 352,000. It's the latest move in a long history of adapting to faster growing areas. They divested away from networking back in 1990s, PCs in the 2000s, semiconductors 5 years ago. IBM is looking to make up for slowing software sales and cyclical demand for mainframe servers by focusing on cloud and artificial intelligence solutions, as they say will account for half of its recurring revenue moving forward.
Do you think you'll be replaced by AI at some point?
Wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me. What do you think? I mean, if you look at radio, for example, a lot of it's automated now, isn't it?
It is, yes, it
you
is.
You don't
yeah.
need, you know, you don't yeah. need so much these days, do you?
You can have voice bots. Voice bots could probably make more intelligent conversation than me.
Yeah, you know, traffic on the Boosterloo, don't worry about it. It's already done by the computer.
I've had a good innings, don't worry about that.
You've done very well.
Foreign exchanges, please.
You've been trading on a very high multiple for a long time. Pound against the dollar coming in at 129.5. Euro dollar 117. Going to get €1.10 for your British pound this morning.
So, Thies up this weekend. Dom Pom in the fridge watching a bit of golf at Wentworth.
The golf is on. It's pretty... actually, a little bit of sunshine this morning. It's not too far away from me, Wentworth. So it's always a nice tournament. They've played around with the course a little bit in the last years. I tell you what, I've been watching a little bit of Netflix. Have you watched Fowler yet?
No.
Oh, it's a series on Netflix. Highlights the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It sort of tells the story from both sides. People have different opinions on that. But it's the first two series particularly are fantastic. So... Fowler, I would recommend to you on Netflix.
Well, I rest my case. When you live not too far from Wentworth, you must be rolling in it. All right, thank you. Talk to you on Monday.
Enjoy your weekend.
Hang pots and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Leister has the top stories across the Riviera.
The body of one of the two firefighters missing in the October the 2nd floods in the Outmaritim has been found. Contrary to first reports announcing that this was the sixth person to die, authorities have since corrected the figures, confirming that it is in fact the fifth death officially recorded in France following the disaster. The 49-year-old man was found in the Var River. He was at the time with his colleague on a road in the town of Roquebillière in the Vis-a-Vis Valley, carrying out rescue operations when their vehicle was swept away by the waves. Six people remain missing and the whereabouts of 13 remain unknown. In other news, France's Minister of Health, Olivier Véran, has announced that due to the increase in the circulation of COVID-19, Lille, Grenoble, Lyon and Saint-Étienne are to be placed on a maximum alert. Toulouse and Montpellier are currently being watched very closely, with a decision being made on Monday as to whether they too will be placed on a maximum alert. Dijon and Clermont-Ferrand will from Saturday be considered as reinforced alert zones, with bars having to close at 10 p.m. and a ban on gatherings of more than 10 people, measures which are already in place in Bordeaux, Nice, Toulouse, Rouen, Montpellier and Rennes. The Minister of Health also announced a significant improvement in the health situation in Nice, Bordeaux, Aix-Marseille and Rennes. Meanwhile, also present at Thursday's press conference, France's finance minister Bruno Le Maire announced measures intended to cushion the economic blow due to the restrictions linked to the coronavirus. In particular, an increase in businesses able to claim the Solidarity Fund. The aid aims to make up for the loss of turnover compared to the same period last year, reaching up to €10,000 per month. Several business sectors have been added to the list and will now be able to claim the financial aid. They include florists, bookshops, graphic designers, photographers and caterers, with in total 75,000 additional businesses being able to benefit. The fund will also be made accessible to companies with up to 50 employees. Up until now, it was limited to those with less than 20. The latest figures for COVID-19 in France continue to rise, with more than 18,000 positive cases, 77 deaths and an increase in the number of patients hospitalised in intensive care. In total, 1,418 people are in intensive care. That's a new record since May. And in the last 24 hours, 77 people have died from COVID, bringing the total number of deaths in hospitals or nursing homes since the start of the epidemic to more than 32,000. 23 people have been tested positive for COVID-19 in the hospital of Marseille. The origin of the contamination is not known with certainty. A source of contamination was detected at the Conception University Hospital, with 23 people testing positive for COVID-19, including both caregivers and patients. The objective of the hospital management is now to clean the unit as much as possible, to put it back into operation as quickly as possible. In the meantime, all the other patients who did not test positive have been transferred to Aix-en-Provence. All infected people were placed in isolation. Two of them are currently in intensive care. Visits are now prohibited in the service, as are patients being discharged for at least 2 weeks. Meanwhile, 40 people have tested positive for COVID-19 at a hospital reception centre in Avignon. It's currently the largest cluster in the Vaucluse department. In national news, France's National Assembly has voted in favour of a bill that allows the extension of the legal period for abortion from 12 to 14 weeks. 86 MPs voted for and 59 against in Thursday's vote. Due to a lack of practitioners and the gradual closure of abortion centres in France, several weeks often elapse between the first appointment and the operation. According to a report published in 2000, each year in France, between 3,000 and 4,000 women go abroad to have a late abortion. Sophie Petroni, known as the only French hostage still held abroad after a kidnapping in Mali, nearly 4 years of detention, has been released and is to arrive back in France today. 75-year-old Petronin will be met by family and the French President Emmanuel Macron. Following the news, Emmanuel Macron expressed the immense relief. Sophie Petronin, who also holds Swiss nationality and worked in humanitarian aid in Mali, was kidnapped on December the 24th, 2016. Finally, due to the drop in demand, the SNCF has announced plans to cancel several TGVs in the coming months to avoid running empty trains. Figures show that the number of weekly commuters is down by 70%, with TGVs to date losing more than €3 billion due to the drop in the number of passengers due to the pandemic.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Tennis, the women's final of the French Open will be between Sofia Kenin and the Polish teenager Iga Świątek. The teenage sensation needed only 70 minutes to beat Nadia Podoroska of Argentina 6-2, 6-1 to reach her first major final, while Kenin beat Petra Kvitova 6-4, 7-5. It's men's semi-finals day today, with Stefanos Tsitsipas up against world number one Novak Djokovic and Diego Schwartzman against Rafael Nadal. Formula One first practice for Sunday's EFL Grand Prix at the Nürburgring in Germany takes place at 11 a.m. this morning, with second practice at 3 p.m. Qualifying is at 3 p.m. tomorrow, with the race at 2:10 on Sunday. Lewis Hamilton leads the Drivers' Championship by 44 points from Mercedes teammate Valtteri Bottas. Bottas won the last race and will be looking to put pressure on the six-time world champion as Hamilton seeks a record-equalling seventh world championship. He looks a bit rattled after the last race, Lewis.
Yes, a little bit.
Yeah. Could be another interesting weekend. And there will actually be fans at the Nürburgring as well, which will make it good. Football, it was a disappointing night for some teams in European Championship qualifying last night. Although Northern Ireland, who drew 1-1 away at Bosnia-Herzegovina, and the Republic of Ireland, who shared a goalless away draw in Slovakia, will probably be happy with the points each. Scotland will be more disappointed as they failed to break the deadlock in a goalless home draw against Israel. England beat Wales 3-0 in a friendly against Wales at Wembley. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. It was a night of firsts for England at Wembley Stadium. Everton striker Dominic Calvert-Lewin's impressive start to the season continued with his first goal in an England shirt. Connor Cody on his first England start, and Southampton's Danny Ings also scored their first international goals as England comfortably beat rivals Wales 3-0. England boss Gareth Southgate was pleased with the performance, particularly with such an inexperienced side.
I'm really pleased for the players, especially because very difficult to put such an inexperienced team together, and without it being having sticky moments, and it's not going to always look so fluid. So I thought they really stuck at the task and got stronger as the game went on and got more confident as the game went on.
Wolves defender Connor Cody was delighted with his goal.
It went amazing. It went something that I've never dreamed of in my wildest dreams, to score for England at Wembley. I can't explain it. I'm in shock, I'll be honest with you. I'm in a little bit of shock because the feeling of it is absolutely amazing. My phone's going off like you never believe, which you probably expect. But honestly, when it fell to my foot, it was something where I just thought, if I get a contact, it'll go in. And I think you see on my face the feelings I had and the emotions I had going through it. It's an incredible feeling and something I'll remember forever and ever.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin was equally elated to find the net for his first in international football.
I wanted to score, and I was thankful to do that so early on, and I've enjoyed myself since I've come here, and I've worked obviously extremely hard to be here, and I'm high on confidence at the moment, scoring goals and enjoying my football, and that's the main thing, and just was more excited than anything. That's the only emotion I had was excitement, and just couldn't wait to get on the pitch. Buzzing is an understatement.
Elsewhere in Euro 2020 qualifying, Everton's Gylfi Sigurdsson got both goals as Iceland beat Romania in Reykjavik to set up a playoff final match against Hungary, who overcame Bulgaria 3-1 in Sofia. Crystal Palace striker Mishi Batshuayi scored as Belgium were held to a 1-1 draw by Ivory Coast in a friendly match in Brussels. and midfielder Mesut Ozil has been left out of Arsenal's Europa League squad for the forthcoming campaign. The 31-year-old's future at the club remains uncertain after being persistently left out of the side by manager Mikel Arteta. The Germany international has not played for the Gunners since March. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Calvert-Lewin, rising star, isn't he?
Certainly he is.
Everton player. Probably score against Liverpool, won't he? Rugby Union, there's one game in the Guinness Pro 14 tonight. Dragons play Zebra, and it's the semi-final playoffs in the Gallagher Premiership in England tomorrow, with Wasps against Bristol and Exeter against Bath. Golf, Tyrrell Hatton of England shares the lead following the first round of the BMW PGA Championship in Wentworth. Hatton fired a first round 6 under par 66 to share the lead with Justin Harding of South Africa and Adri Arnaz of Spain. A cluster of players are on 5 under, including Shane Lowry and Eddie Pepperell, with Justin Rose on 4 under and Ian Poulter on 3 under. And in cycling, Arnaud Démare of France has won stage 6 of the Giro d'Italia in a sprint finish at the end of the 188-kilometre stage from Castrovillari. João Almeida of Portugal still holds the leader's pink jersey with a 43-second advantage over Pello Bilbao of Spain.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts. Beyond expectation.
The coastal area is up to 20 miles offshore the Isle Maritime in the Var. The general situation is a ridge of high pressure, 1,020 millibars over southern France. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,019 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, partially cloudy, force 3 to 5 northerly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,018 millibars, and the outlook for Saturday. Clear skies, force 3 to 5, northwesterly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat, the home closing specialist in Nice and Villefranche.
Partially cloudy today, light variable winds, temperatures 21 and 22 degrees this afternoon. Overnight lows 14 degrees on the coast, 11 degrees inland with clear skies. The weekend fine tomorrow, scattered thundery showers on Sunday, highs of 20 to 22 degrees.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat Nice and Villefranche. For 30 years, specialising in home closures, windows, blinds, shutters, reinforced glazing and doors. Feel good at home. Visit servibat06.fr.
Finally,
if you keep finding your way to the biscuit tin, it's not entirely your fault. Well, not really, as a study has shown that humans are better at remembering the location of high-calorie foods rather than healthy snacks because of our hunter-gatherer instincts to avoid starvation. Researchers found that test subjects could more accurately recall the location of high-calorie foods than their lower-calorie counterparts. This rule applied regardless of whether the experimental participants liked the food in question or how familiar they were with the item. The findings indicate that part of our memory, which allows us to remember the relative locations of objects, has evolved to prioritise high-calorie food.
There's a new McVitie's chocolate biscuit out called VIP. It sounds delicious.
Oh, OK.
It's got caramel in it and chocolate and all sorts of stuff.
Well, you'll die sooner from lack of sleep than you will of starvation.
Yes. You're up to date. The news is on the website, revereradio.mc. Ed Stewart's on Saturday mornings on Radio 2.
Yes, before
it was called
my time.
Junior Choice, the programme, I remember now. And Alex says, on Saturday mornings, we used to drive off somewhere to play football, usually about 7 of us bundled into Dad's car, no seatbelts. Yeah.
Yes.
The song I remember was My Brother by Terry Scott.
I was going to say that. That was the only, because I had a CD with that on a collection that I played to my kids.
My brother said it wasn't he who put shampoo in Grandma's tea. Terry Scott, eh? Terry and June.
Yes.